come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. John Schmuck, Lance Mehta with you for 1 hour of New York Giants talk on Giants.com and on the Giants mobile app. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Lance Mehta with me. And Lance, you and Jeff obviously talked a lot about the Minnesota Viking game on Monday. So we don't want to completely recap that game. But obviously a very poor performance by the Giants, which they could have played better. But the one thing that I'm taking a little bit of an issue with, and I've heard a couple people say that listening to WFN the last couple of days, this idea that the team didn't show up for the game and there wasn't an effort. To me, that does not hit the mark. And I know you look at the final score and you say, oh, man, well, they lost by 40 points. Of course, you know, they didn't show up and, you know, there wasn't a lot of effort. But here's the thing. Turnovers will change everything in a game. And when you hand the opposition touchdowns, in which the Giants handed them basically two, it makes the score look a lot worse than it is. You can make the argument that this Giants played perhaps their best pass defense of the year against the Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater had very pedestrian numbers. His completion percentage was way down. Didn't throw for a lot of yards. The Giants now are actually under 300 yards per game allowed this year. And at the end of the first quarter, it was just 3-0. So it's not like the Vikings came out of the gates here and just dominated from start to finish.
Yeah, the turning point of the game, John, was that pick six that Eli Manning threw, because that really blew things open to where the Vikings had a two-touchdown advantage. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's numbers, I agree, were not, you know, through the roof. But keep in mind, he doesn't average that much to begin
Correct.
With. And they did pound the football a lot on the ground, which is their MO coming in.
No, remember,
that was no secret.
Those rushing numbers were also jaded, though, because if you look at halftime of this game, and I'll bring up the box score in a second here, Lance, but if you take a look
Peterson
at the box score at half,
part, yeah.
Yeah, at halftime, neither Adrian Peterson nor Jerick McKinnon went nuts.
Most of it was in the second half.
Jerick McKinnon had a 60-yard run, and Adrian Peterson had a 40-yard run. I'm not going to say that was after the game is over, but it was after the Vikings already had a commanding lead in the game. So at that point, the Vikings were only averaging something like 3 yards per carry. So to me, this wasn't an issue of the defense not showing up. This wasn't an issue of the offense not showing up. It was an issue of the Giants not having their best player on offense in Odell Beckham Jr. Now, if you want to criticize him for not being able to be successful without him, that's fair game. And Eli Manning said that in his interviews yesterday on WFAN and on the conference call with reporters, that we have to play better without Odell Beckham Jr. No question, no argument, that has to happen. But the defense, I thought, actually, again, played okay. And the issue with this game, and we talked about it, oftentimes with the Giants being on the other end of the spectrum for a lot of games this year, being the team getting the takeaways and that giving them a big advantage over the opposition, it was the Giants giving the ball to the other team in this game with their turnovers, with Eli Manning's interceptions in this game, that really, really hurt. And this Giants team isn't in a position where they can afford to make those types of mistakes and not lose by a few touchdowns.
Yeah, digging yourself in an early hole and then trying to work your way out of it. Now, in fairness, they did come back against Carolina, but to follow that script every week, I think, you know, is a lot of pressure that you're putting on the offense. The two things that were the common traits, John, in the two games that were actually lopsided. This was the second lopsided game this season.
Other than that,
everything else was extremely competitive, you know, so you certainly didn't question the effort of the team. But the two common traits between the Eagles game, and we are going to start to look ahead to the finale where they are going to have another opportunity to redeem themselves against Philadelphia, and the Minnesota game, turnovers, as you alluded to, John, plus there was a pick six in each contest. So the opposing defense helped the opposing offense by putting points on the board. Protecting the football was an issue in both Philadelphia and Minnesota's games. And then on top of that, the lack of pass protection.
Yeah.
The Eagles got to Eli Manning in
that
first game. Minnesota also got to Eli Manning. So, you know, those were the two common threads. When those things break down, when you don't get consistency in terms of protecting the football and protecting the quarterback, you're going to put yourself in a very precarious situation. You're going to force the offense to have to put up 40 points. And this offense is capable of doing that, but when Odell Beckham's not in the equation, you know, you have to at least put things in perspective and realize that's going to be an enormous challenge.
Just for example, if you want to, for the people that are out there making the argument that the team didn't show up, all right, here's my argument against that. At the half, the Giants are trailing 19-3. The score looks bad. You don't want to be down three scores at the end of the first half. No question about it. Total yards. The Vikings only outgained the Giants by 40 yards in the first half, 154 to 112. How about this? The Giants had 13 carries for 55 yards in the first half. The Vikings had 14 for 44. The Giants averaged one full yard more per carry than the Vikings in the first half of that game. Teddy Bridgewater, 12 of 21, 127 yards, one touchdown. They're fine numbers. They're okay. Isn't anything blowing, you know, the door off the house? No, not at all. 154 total yards for the Vikings. I mean, I can look it up. I don't have half-by-half stats in front of me. But that's probably one of the lower numbers in terms of total yards the Giants have given up in a half this year. Just 154? That's a pretty good number. Now, but the problem you get into, again, was Eli Manning saw the Vikings, and he had a bad game. I mean, unfortunately for him, that's been a pattern over the course of his career. He does not play well against the Vikings. 5 of 13 in the first half, 77 yards, and two interceptions. And both those interceptions put the Vikings, one into the end zone, the other one at the four-yard line, and Adrian Peterson ran it in to get the ball
favorable
into the
position.
End zone. So that's where the Vikings got those two scores. If not for those two turnovers, you're looking at a 6-3, 9-3, something like that, halftime lead for Minnesota, and it's a completely different game.
Plus, also, there was the onside kick in that game, too, which set up the opposing offense in a very good position.
And Eli had a third pick in the second half,
it wasn't as if Minnesota's offense lit up the scoreboard with their passing game. As I mentioned, when they were in front, John, they pounded the football like any team would do. And keep in mind, that's another common element. DeMarco Murray had his best performance of the season against the Giants. You know why? Because Philadelphia actually played with a lead. How often have they done that throughout the course of the season?
It was almost a 50-50 run-pass split. I was looking at that box score. I think it was 38 passes and 37 runs in that game for Philly.
And that's ideal for any team.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily unique for Philadelphia. Minnesota had good balance, too. You get in front of anybody in this league, you want to start to run the football, take pressure off of your quarterback. And both the Vikings and the Eagles did that against the Giants. And the Giants, on the flip side, you know, the numbers were fairly balanced. But the problem is, of those 29 pass attempts, John, there wasn't enough execution.
Right.
Meaning you didn't maximize the true value of those 29 pass attempts because there were only 15 completions, of which 7 went to the receiving corps.
And that's why, to me, if you want to, you know, put your finger on why this game went south in the big way that it did, again, no one's trying to spin positive here, folks. It was a terrible game. The Giants got blown out. But if you want to talk about why, to me, effort wasn't an issue here. It was simply without Odell Beckham Jr. against a pretty good defense in Minnesota. Not a top five defense, but a top 10, top 15 defense. They're a very, very good defense. The Giants could not muster any sort of consistent offensive attack. They actually ran the ball okay. Either Rashad Jennings ran the ball again pretty well for the third or fourth straight week. I thought he was solid, but they just couldn't get any receivers open. And when receivers did get open, Eli Manning didn't hit them. And it turned into a debacle in terms of the passing game. And really, it's probably only the second game you would say Eli Manning's been below average this year. It's probably his worst game overall this year. The other game was Philly he didn't play well against. And I know they came back against Washington, but if you look at that second game against Washington, he didn't play real well in that game. And until the comeback against Carolina, he struggled. But from start to finish, this is really the game that Eli Manning really had the most issues this year.
It was his second game with three interceptions. The other one
against
was that
Redskins
game that you were referring to. I'm just looking through his game log this season in terms of perhaps another rough performance.
And the Eagles, 24-38 for only 189 yards. I would say that's another one.
And those all have the same elements that we've been discussing in terms of pass protection issues, not able to have continuity. Remember, the Giants scored on that opening drive against the Eagles. Everything else went downhill after that.
Absolutely.
After they got off to a very good start. But, yeah, this one, the Redskins game and the Eagles game, probably the three that, you know, the Giants offense just could not get into rhythm. That was the problem. And I think the perfect example, John, is if you go back to the few plays before the pick six, they were actually running the ball effectively. Rashad Jennings had a few good runs. You're getting the chains moving, and then, unfortunately, the turnover comes back to bite them. So, you know, they were getting some quality production on the ground. The passing game just did not complement the running game on Sunday night. That was the biggest issue.
Which is really the opposite issue that they've had all year long, where they've been able to pass the ball, but they can't run it. So it happens, and the Giants move on. They have one more game. Unfortunately for the Giants, they're out of postseason contention. They're going to have to figure out a way to get out there and put a good showing on against Philadelphia, who also is out of playoff contention. At the start of the year, you figured at least one of those two teams would be alive for a playoff spot at this point. One of the reasons the game has been kept at 1 o'clock. It will not go to 4:15, which probably would have been the case if the game did mean something, if Philadelphia had managed to beat Washington last week. And it shows you when you go to predict things before the year, Lance, in the NFL. I mean, we talked about before the season for months about this NFC East. Yeah, we think the Giants and the Eagles and the Cowboys would all be in the mix for first place. But, you know, the Redskins will probably be back a little bit. And look what happens.
Yeah, Washington, and I said this on the air a few times ago, or at least a few weeks ago. Washington's always the team you overlook in this division, I feel.
Oh, that's because of the quarterback situation.
You pencil them in last place, and it's just a three-team race. And this season, of all seasons, it was the team that performed the best in the late stages of the year in terms of quality quarterback performances and closing out games in the fourth quarter, which I guess is a fair way to summarize the NFC East this season. Completely unpredictable, very up and down, and that's what happens in this division. Teams tend to beat each other up, but who would have predicted, John, that, you know, Tony Romo goes down with another injury? Yes, he's been hurt in the past, but, you know, that was a curveball for this division. The Eagles struggling in their second year with Chip Kelly's offense, where it seemed as if, you know, things were starting to click. They made a lot of offseason moves. You know, a lot of those moves backfired on them. You know, the Giants had some injuries. Giants struggled in terms of closing out fourth quarters.
Defense had issues.
Yeah, every team had its fair share of issues as to why, you know, it turned out in favor of the Washington Redskins. It came down to the team that executed the best in the fourth quarter and played its best football in the final quarter of the season. And that was the Washington Redskins. They won on the road after they struggled all season long on the road. They won the head-to-head matchup with the Giants, which was coming off the Giants' bye, which was a key stretch for the Giants, an opportunity to take control of the division. You know, that's a big reason why they're going to the postseason.
No question about it. And look, give Kirk Cousins credit. You know, he was a punchline for the last couple years. You know, before the year, I can't believe you're starting this guy over Robert Griffin III. The Redskins are crazy. But as he got more experience, and this really his second full season as a player at quarterback, we know it's his third year in the league, but really his second year of experience, he really stepped up and played great football. I think, 20 touchdowns and 3 interceptions over his last...
9 games.
9 games it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't argue with that. And that's with a team, by the way, whose running game really was inconsistent at best this year from game to game, and a defense that showed improvement with a new defensive coordinator, but it still wasn't one of the top units of the league. So the Redskins had the opportunity due to the mistakes and bad play of the other three teams in the NFC East, and they managed to take advantage of it. All right, everybody, 201-939-4513. That's your telephone number again, 201-939-4513. Don't forget, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter, but also on the phones. And that's where we will start at 201-939-4513. Let's go to AJ in South Carolina first. AJ, what's going on, pal?
Thanks for taking my call. I know Jeremy Davis is the sixth round draft pick. Why he didn't play Sunday? I thought he should have played since there was a suspension.
Well, you know what, Jeremy Davis, I don't think Tom Coughlin was asked that question on the conference call yesterday, not that I remember.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what his answer would be if he does get that question at Wednesday's press conference. I don't really have a good answer for you. I guess Davis simply hasn't shown enough at practice to earn his way onto the field. Ben Edwards more of a – and, you know, I bet you this is probably the reason now that I think about it. Jeremy Davis is an outside receiver. He's a big guy. He's got size. What are Reuben Randall and Hakeem Nicks? They're outside receivers, big guys with size. So my guess is that Ben Edwards is probably the guy that they thought would fit better in that slot role, and I got to imagine that's probably why they decided to go with him instead of going with Jeremy Davis.
Okay, I got one more point before I go. I like what I saw for Landon Collins. He was flying over the backfield, making tackles.
Yeah, Landon Collins did make a few good plays in the backfield in this last game I do remember one in the second half where he got decent penetration. And, you know, he's been very aggressive when they allow him to play down in the box. I mean, he certainly has made plays for the team this season. It'll be very interesting, John. And, AJ, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. How they look to use him in the future, whether they, you know, continue to use him as a coverage guy or they maybe try to convert him a little bit more to a linebacker, because when he's in the box, he seems to be a very effective player.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that's where he's better. You know, I don't think either one of us are advocating a change to linebacker permanently, but I think if you want to take advantage of what he's good at now, you play him down there a little bit more. But at the same time, if he's going to be out there and playing safety, he's got to get better at coverage. The only way he's going to get better at coverage is by doing it.
Of course, getting those reps. Yeah.
You hope that he improves as you keep him out there. He took a bad angle on that play where Rudolph beat Craig down in the end zone. But again, you want to get him work out there if you want him to improve at it. And, you know, the Giants hope that he can be a two-way safety and do both of those things, even though, again, he's made some very impressive plays. And he is very aggressive at that line of scrimmage. I mean, he's almost 235 pounds. So he's a big enough guy to play down there. He had saved the linebackers coming out last year that were 228, 229, 232. So, you know, that's somewhere where you can certainly envision him being successful in the future. Eric in North Dakota. Eric, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Morning, John and Les.
Hi, Eric.
Morning to you, Eric.
I was at the game there for my first game actually with my wife here to the Vikings game, and I'll be surprised. There's a lot of Giants fans down there.
Yeah, you know, Giant fans do a great job of traveling, Eric. They really do. There's Giant fans all over the country, and they really do an excellent job of supporting their team.
Yeah, especially when it was really cold out there. But, my question is this on the next year's salary cap. Is it true that we're going to have like $50 million over cap next year?
Well, you don't know exactly how much room you're going to have because I don't think the cap has been specifically set yet for the amount.
Said, yeah.
But there will be substantial money to spend from what the reports say are true. I think that's a good broad number you can use, Eric, when you start thinking about next year.
And keep in mind, Eric, also the money that you don't spend this season gets carried over to the following season.
And I think that pool is included in that amount.
Correct, and that's a big reason why I think they're going to be in a very good position, at least based on the estimates.
But at the same time, Eric, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make on guys becoming free agents and replacing people along both sides of the ball.
Oh, okay. And my other question is this. They were saying that about week 17 against the Eagles, if we say we win this game, we don't get to play the Rams in London? I don't know if that's true.
Correct, yes. The team that finishes third is going to travel to London to play the Rams. So if you win the game, you get second place, not third place.
Yeah, and the Rams are locked in the third place in the NFC West.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that is, have a good day. You guys did a good job, everything. And looking forward to going to MetLife hopefully next year for my wife.
All right, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Hope
to see
you
out.
Thank you.
Yep. Appreciate it, man. So this is the battle for London next year.
Yes, implications. Well, now, I also read
– do you have your passport ready to go?
Oh, I have my passport ready to go.
Do you really?
Yes. I recently got a new photo and everything, so it's all set to go.
All right. Yeah, excellent.
So, don't worry. I'm prepared if I need to leave the country. Or if I'm excited to leave with you the country.
Can leave you out there.
Thing. Yes. Well, that's probably a good idea. With the bye week, there may be some flexibility to leave me there.
That's actually not a bad point. I might be staying out there too for
a little
vacation.
Only imagine, yes.
As you can tell, Lance and I would not be adverse to going to London next year. Just FYI.
We're not complaining. It'd be nice to get out of the country for a little
bit.
Absolutely. But if I read correctly, John, I believe the second place finish in the NFC East goes to Seattle to play the Seahawks.
Yeah, that would be correct.
So that's how things work out. Based on the result.
Still a six-hour flight, just in a different direction.
It's gonna be a lengthy flight.
You're flying a long way. It's just a matter of where.
Both teams are going to go on a lengthy flight. The question is, are you going to stay in the United States or are you going to leave the United States? That's the million-dollar question at this point.
We have some friends in Seattle. That could be fun, too.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
London is London, after all.
Well, London is a unique experience, and you don't get to do that every single day.
And you also, frankly, don't necessarily want to have to play a game in Seattle. That's never fun.
Yes, considering the 12th man and the environment there.
And they have a pretty good team, too.
Yes. All of those factors combined.
They have a pretty good team. 201-939-4513. Ken is in New Jersey. Ken, you're up next. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Happy New Year. Thanks for taking my call.
You too, buddy.
I'm a huge Tom Coughlin supporter. I believe he deserved a lot better this year, meaning, like, it might be his last year, and I believe he at least should have made the playoffs. I think the team still listens to him. I think he's a great coach. I don't think we could find anybody better at the moment. And also, if we do get a new coach, I don't see us making the playoffs for at least another 2-3 years. I think that's a blown opportunity considering how much cap space we have and where we're picking in the draft this year, that removing Tom Coughlin isn't exactly a fix for this team. I think there's a lot of talent issues, not exactly effort, maybe talent, because I've been saying all year that Ruben Randle's just not given effort. And in a contract year, I don't think he's not given effort. I think he's just not as talented as we would like him to be. And hopefully we still have Tom Coughlin next year. I became a Giants fan because of Lawrence Taylor. I love, you know, big blue football, big defense football, hard-hitting defense. And this defense this year is just a disgrace to the uniform. But that's all I really got. Hopefully Tom Coughlin keeps his job. As for Jerry Reese, who knows? But thanks for taking my call, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate the call. Well, if you listen to the show, you know how I feel about Tom Coughlin. I think he's an excellent coach. And I know a lot of fans are upset about some of the late-game stuff this year, and especially in that Dallas game, the first game. We all know mistakes were made. But, you know, with all these close-game losses this year, in my opinion, I think a lot of the reason they were in a lot of those close games was because of the job this coaching staff did, coaching these guys up, game-planning, getting them ready, being that close with New England, coming back against the Panthers, you know, games like that. And I think the coaching staff deserves credit for that. And I think when you look at the reasons for why this team was poor this year, I honestly, in my opinion, don't think coaching's at the top of the list.
No, it was execution. I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. Plus, you know, let's not overlook the fact, John, and I think this can easily get overlooked, especially based on how the Giants' offense performed against Minnesota. Giants are going to finish with a top 10 offense this season again, which has been fairly consistent going back to when Kelvin Gilbride was the offensive coordinator.
Right.
I mean, they have been fairly consistent in terms of finishing in the top 10, and they're going to do that again, especially with respect to their passing offense. And their running offense has come alive in these final 3 weeks of the season, and hopefully they can carry that over to this Eagles game. So, you know, the offense has been there all season long. Unfortunately, it's been a lot of pressure on the offense because the defense hasn't been able to get the key stops when they needed it the most.
But, of course, it's a results-based business. We'll see what John Mara and the ownership and the Tishes all decide to do after the year. And as Tom Coughlin says at every press conference, he takes blame for the losses that they're on him. So he knows that, and we'll see what decisions are made next week. Let's go to Phil. He's on next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Phil, what's going on, pal?
Phil, are you there?
Phil. Hello, Phil.
Phil going once.
Phil going twice. And we're sold. Joe in Pennsylvania, you're up next, pal. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. I want to reiterate what that last player or caller said for Coughlin. And like I says, I believe they haven't quit all year on him. They were in just about every game. And I think that loss in Minnesota was a hangover of not making the playoffs besides the cold. And just going forward, I think we should start Eli, get Nassif in there, let him play a little bit. But I know, like you said, I don't think they'll do that. But with our players going that are really up for contract between Prince, JPP, Ruben Randle, who else is there? I was just wondering, in what order would you put their importance to the team and sign them? Because I think maybe Randle or even JPP, Cruz too, about playing and maybe having off of them guys like incentive contracts. That's I was just wondering what you think about that going forward, them guys.
Well, Joe, first of all, Cruz is under contract, so I mean he's not going to be a free agent, so I wouldn't necessarily throw him in that category.
What's his up to? But for not playing for almost 2 years, I think you almost have to sit down and talk to him about this. You can't pay him top bucks, saying he one of the top players paid on the team. I mean,
contracts are restructured time to time. So, I mean, I'm sure that if the Giants feel that they need to have that conversation, that's certainly always an option. But, I mean, in terms of making a decision on him, Cruz is on the books. I mean, that you don't have to necessarily make a decision on.
I understand, but what's your personal feelings if you were the general manager? I mean, this is 2 years. I love Cruz too, but I mean, you can't go another year like this. I can't think. I don't know about what this past injury is, how long they think about it.
Well, but Joe, here's the trick, though. Let's say in your theoretical world they say, all right, we're gonna let go of Victor Cruz and move on, okay?
I'm not saying let him go, but I'm using a hypothetical situation.
Just using a hypothetical.
Hypothetically, that's what happens. Where's your second receiver coming from? You have to find them somewhere. You either got to go out and pay somebody in free agency, which is going to be over. You know, by the nature of free agency is that you're going to overpay for guys. That's just the way it works. It's rare you get a bargain in free agency for a big name, big time player. It simply doesn't happen very often. You can't count on that. So, to me, I would be very careful in trying to run away from Victor Cruz that quickly when you don't have somebody that you can say, well, you know what, I'm going to push this guy into that role and he can do it and we know he can do it.
I think if Victor was there, he could have made the difference on a lot of these close games. But, I mean, how long can we go without counting on him, you know? I mean, we have a big question. Again, I think JPP will be able to play, but just so much questions with these guys. And between Prince and then Randall up and down, you know, you really have some questions there. I have to see these guys in practice and what their coaches think about them, you know. And another thing, with Coughlin going, I'd hate to see him go because I'd hate to see McAdoo go, like you said, with that top offense and that. And I really think we were in, like, a rebuilding year the last couple of years because of the offense and defensive line. So that's all. Thanks again, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Joe. Lance and I are going to put value on the players here, but I think when you talk about positions, I think it is very important to get a more consistent pass rush. I think pass rush in a lot of ways is probably more important than having a good corner, because I think even if you have a very good cornerback and you can't rush the passer, eventually the receiver is going to get open. It's just the nature of the beast. You can't
cover a guy forever.
But I think we've seen in the NFL teams that maybe don't have top corners have been able to get away with that because they get such good pressure on the quarterback. So I think if you look at a focus for where this team has to be better next year, it's rushing the quarterback. And, you know, he mentioned JPP, another guy on that list that, quite frankly, has been the Giants' best pass rusher for now two consecutive seasons, is Robert Ayers. And is another team going to chase him and throw a lot of cash at him? I think that's something we're going to have to wait and see.
Well, he's having a career year in terms of the sack department.
Especially late in the year.
Yeah, so that clearly is going to bring up his market value as he tries to test the waters and see perhaps what he wants to do next season. And I always said this throughout the course of last year, John, had he not had the pectoral injury last year, he probably would have approached that 8 or 9 sack total.
He could have got double digits.
He was about, 5.5 last year, if I recall.
Absolutely.
And he got hurt when there were a number of games still left. Just as a point of comparison.
Real quick, Ayers, he's also versatile, Lance. He can rush from the outside. He's also great rushing at that 3-technique defensive tackle spot, which is a very, very great spot to have a good pass rush from. Because, as you know, easy for a quarterback to step up from rush around the edge. When the guy is coming from in front of you from the defensive tackle spot, not so easy.
Yeah, his versatility, I think, certainly has to be considered. Plus, also, his ability to stop the run, too. I don't think he could overlook as well.
But the question, though, is, can he stay healthy? Because now it's been two straight years where he's dealt with injuries over the course of the year. How many games can you count on him to be on the field? So that's something else you have to put
into
that equation.
Well, and that's where you get into the conversation. I think this is what Joe was pinpointing. You know, you want these guys to be a part of the equation, but you also need to prepare for worst-case scenario in case they suffer an injury here or there, that you have somebody else that can fill in admirably. On the topic of sack totals, I think it's interesting to look at the teams that are at the top of the rankings this season, John, and this tends to happen year in, year out. Usually, if you're in the top 10, good chance you're going to the postseason. And I think this year's totals reflect that. I mean, look at the top teams.
And last year, I don't think
totals.
It was like that, to be honest with you, but go through them.
Well, here we go. Denver's number one. Denver's going to the postseason. Patriots are number two. Patriots are going to the postseason. Carolina's three. They're in. Cincinnati's four. They're in. Kansas City's five. They are in. Pittsburgh is six. Still mathematically has a chance.
But they could win 10 games.
Correct. Green Bay's in. St. Louis is not. Okay, there's one. And Detroit after that. And I think I got to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Minnesota's 10.
So,
okay. So eight of the top 10 teams are either in or have a chance to get into the playoffs in terms of the highest sack totals this season.
And then you look three down. And then look, two down the list, you have the Texans. They're going to be in. You have the Jets. They're going to be in. Two below them, you have the Cardinals. So if you want to go top 15 here, Lance, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. The out of the top 15 teams, only one, two, three,
four,
at most five, if the Steelers don't make it, will not be in the playoffs. So you're looking at 66%
of
the top
of the
15 teams in sacks in the league are going to be in the postseason. That's big time.
Now, in comparison, you said you didn't think last year looked
like
that.
I thought I remember looking at it, and last year wasn't like
well,
that. Maybe
look,
I'm
Buffalo
wrong.
Was number one. They did not make the playoffs.
Eagles, number tied for second. They did not make the playoffs. Giants did not make the playoffs. Did the Chiefs make the playoffs last year? I don't think so. Right?
No,
didn't
Chiefs
they have a down year
the
last
playoffs.
Year? The Chiefs,
they had
I thought
down
so.
Year, yes, Jacksonville,
yeah. Jacksonville
make the
out,
so,
Jets
you know,
out, Lions
it's the
out.
Complete opposite.
Yeah, it
last
was the.
Year.
I thought I remember looking that up last year, and that being the case
in terms of the difference. Yeah, but this year in particular, teams that have gone into the quarterback have pretty much punched their ticket to the postseason. Last year, completely the opposite direction. So it has fluctuated. Didn't think it fluctuated that much going back to last year. I bet if we go to 2013, we'll probably see. Perhaps some teams that made the postseason that year in terms of, let's see.
Oh, boy, did the Panthers make the playoffs in 2013? I don't remember. I have to look at the playoffs that
year.
Yeah,
that was 2 years ago when they won 12 games. They were 12-4.
They were 12-4
yes,
that year.
That was
okay.
One of their best seasons in franchise history. So they did make it. Green Bay made it. They're up there. Seattle made it. Cincinnati
made
it.
Did the Saints get in that year? I don't remember.
So, well, Cincinnati's made the postseason
no,
every year since Dalton.
But the Saints. Did the Saints get in that year in 2013?
That's a good question.
They've been so up and down. I don't. It's hard to remember what
it's
happened.
It's hard to remember, but I would
anyway.
Say just off the top of my head, many more teams than what the 2014 numbers.
But this
showed.
Year has been very indicative. Yes. Sacks equals success. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. One of the stories that's been out there, Lance, that I want to bring up for a second, and we'll get back to your calls in a second. I don't want to get too far off track here. But this whole idea that Jerry Jones is furious that Brandon Weeden left the Cowboys and has now led the Texans to the playoffs, hold on a second. He took over in the second half of one game, and then he beat the Tennessee Titans without their starting quarterback that's the worst team in football. Let's not make it out that he's won like six straight games against the Patriots, Panthers, and the Denver Broncos here. You know, the Texans have won games with like four different quarterbacks this year. Literally,
yeah.
Four different quarterbacks. So I think that story's been overblown a little bit.
Well, you just put things in perspective. Not many people are going to look at the breakdown of what you just said. That's the thing. In terms of when he came into the game, the caliber of the opponent and so forth. I would also argue Houston also has a better defense than Dallas,
and
too.
And frankly, Brandon Weeden played a couple okay games for Dallas.
He did,
but
yes.
Their
the
defense,
ball didn't bounce their way.
Their defense is what betrayed Dallas later in the year. And then you got later in early in the year. Then when you got later in the year, their offense was poor and their defense was better. So, you know, the Cowboys had one of those everything goes wrong for them type of years. Frankly, much like the New York Giants in a lot of ways.
Well,
201.
Talk about theme in the NFC.
939-4513. Len is down in Columbia, Maryland. Leonard, Happy New Year, my friend. Hope you had a great holiday.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. Yes, a very good holiday, and I hope you guys did as well.
We did.
Well, you know,
until Sunday night.
Another disappointing end to a season. Just a couple of, you know, comments, if I may.
Yeah, please.
You know, if you're going to sign one of those three guys that Joe brought up to what turns out to be a second contract, coming off the kinds of records that we've had in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, final records, you got to consider those guys to be part of the core. If they're not on your list, and quite frankly, they're not on my list, as being part of your core. Usually you talk about core 10. I got like six guys on the list.
Len, let me tell you, and I think this has been a theme. I'm not sure if you've listened to the radio broadcast much the last couple of weeks. Carl Banks has had a theme. He goes, for this week and next week, the Giants have one thing that has to be on their mind. Which guys are part of the problem? Which guys are part of the solution? And that's what you have to decide in these last two games, or now the final game against Philadelphia.
I think Howard Cross has been quoting that line, too, by
the way.
Oh,
you know what? You know what?
I don't know. I thought I heard
Howard
say that.
No, you know what? I think that was actually Howard and not Carl. That's my mistake.
No,
that was Howard
fine.
And not Carl.
It must spread across the broadcast team. So.
you know, but with those three guys, I mean, nothing personal, but given the record that we've had with those three guys in the lineup, it's hard to think in terms of giving them a long-term contract as if they're part of the solution. You know, part of the solution, you can count them on one hand. I think that's where we are.
Who's on your list, Len?
I'm sorry?
Who's on your list? Who are your six?
Eli. Beckham.
Agreed.
Richburg.
Okay.
Pugh.
Okay. Flowers?
I think Flowers.
I'm going to put, hold on. I'm going to put Flowers on there, but Flowers is like, I hope, and I'll tell you why in just a second. On the defensive side.
How about Vereen?
I put.
How about Vereen, Len?
I put Cromartie there. let me finish with my list.
That's fine. Go ahead.
I put Cromartie there, and I put Collins on that list. But he's part of the hope. You know, he's part of the hope.
Okay, that's fair.
I'm not. You know, so that you want to put Vereen on there? Well, throw Vereen on. Go ahead.
How about Hankins?
So we're up to seven.
How about
Hankins?
Eight, actually.
How about Hankins?
Okay.
How about Hankins and Dwayne Harris, Len? How about those two?
If Hankins was due for a second contract, would you give it to him?
I would say it depends on the price point.
You didn't give it to Linville, and when we were going through this whole thing with Linville, I'm sorry, we got a little off subject here.
No, that's okay.
We didn't give it to Linville, and my point at that time to you guys was, what hasn't he done that brings about his not deserving?
No, you know, Len, looking at it today.
He had more sacks with us than he had with them.
And, Len, I think looking at it today, I think your point, I would lean more towards your point now than I did at the time. I thought Hankins would step up, and I think in his second year, he certainly showed why maybe letting go of Linville wasn't a bad idea, because I think, you know, last season, Hankins was phenomenal.
He had seven sacks.
He had seven sacks.
Yeah,
he was a
nobody
great player.
Expected him to get that
but he
pressure.
Did not look like the same guy when he was healthy this year. So this year, you look better. Last year, I looked better.
Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah,
finish up.
Here's the good news with Hankins. We got another year to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But
another
if I had to decide again, I wouldn't go second contract with Hank.
Okay.
Harris. Listen, that was a terrific pickup. maybe the best pickup of the of the offseason was Harris. The guy has done well and he's played hard. Obviously, he's played hard
and playing through injuries too.
This guy wants to get on the football field,
yes.
No question. So, but again, he's not the kind of guy for me. I mean, look at him. He's your fourth receiver. I mean, we came into the season, he was the fourth receiver, and some people wondered, well, if he plays as the fourth receiver, then, you know, he doesn't do as much on special teams. Maybe Preston Parker. Is it Preston Parker? I even forget Parker's
first
name.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, okay. Preston Parker. I don't know. I'm not knocking Harris. I'm just saying the guys I want to build around
I understand.
Are the five or six that I had on my list. That's you know, but the three guys that we're talking about on a second contract, high draft choices, you know, you got to put them on the list of being part of your core, not just because, as you mentioned with Prince, who else are you going to get? Or your whole thing with Randall, who's going to play wide receiver if Randall isn't on the team? Well, John, who cares if we go 6-10 or 5-11, what difference does it make?
Well, I wasn't talking about Ruben Randall. I was talking about Victor.
I was talking about Victor Cruz.
I was talking about Victor Cruz, Len. Like Victor Cruz has proven he can be a big part of a winning team.
Is he on your list, John?
Right
going
now,
forward,
would he be on my?
It kills me to say it, but he's not on my list.
Well, I think Victor, because of the injuries, is a question mark now. I would hope that he can be a big part of the future, but would I count on it and give it 100% yes, I know for sure? No, when a guy hasn't played football in a year and a half, I think you say, you know what? He has to go out there and prove it.
Okay, I got one more point. Thanks for keeping me on so long. If you want to build a case to keep Tom, you indict Jerry. If you want to build a case to pick Jerry or to keep Jerry, you got to indict Tom. When the tsunami hits next week, and it's going to hit, here's how frustrated I am. Whatever the decision is, whoever we retain, just go back to your office and hide under your desk. I don't want to hear anything from the survivors for at least 3 months. The only person I want to hear from is Mr. Mara. By the way, I get so frustrated when there's an indictment against this ownership team. This family has owned this team for 90 years. Look at the record. Give me a break. There's no ownership group in the NFL, the Rooney family. okay? And we're intertwined with them through marriage. But, I mean, this ownership group, and you know, I reserve judgment on Mr. Tisch. He knows the entertainment business and so forth, and I think he's part of – he's a good partner for the Mariners. But these guys know what they're doing. They're going to make the right decision next week. I mean, you know, but listen – I don't want to hear from anybody who survived on the football operations. By the way, I think marketing is safe, John.
Marketing, thank you, Len. I hope so, too.
We'll pass that along.
Finance,
thank
and
you.
Accounting and stadium operations. I think you guys, you're safe from the tsunami. But anybody else, oh, my gosh.
Well,
Len, my gosh.
I appreciate it, my friend.
But
thank
you. I don't want to hear. After the record that we've had, whoever the survivors are, I don't want to hear from these guys for 3 months. Just go thank your lucky butt you still got a job.
All right, Len, have a good one.
All right, Len, appreciate it.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Thanks so much.
I make no guarantees Lance Meadow was safe. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, John, Lance, how you guys doing?
Drew, what's up?
Doing well, Drew. What do you got for us?
Good. Hey, I kind of echo what Len is saying, because I definitely think in my gut of heart of hearts, I definitely feel one of these guys is going to be gone, either Coughlin or Reese. And honestly, man, it's kind of hard for me to see Coughlin gone, though I kind of think we do need a change. But on the flip side, I know stability and everything else. I always go back to the Yankees and when they got rid of Joe Torre. You know, Joe Torre was definitely a winning manager. He brought the city of New York 4 championships, but in the end, it was time for a change. And I kind of feel the same way about Tom Coughlin. I do like Tom Coughlin and everything. I think he's a great coach, and I kind of hate to see him go. I'm kind of scared of change just for change, because that reverberates throughout the other team and the rest of the team. And I do believe we're wasting Eli's talents. That said, in my mind, and it's a question for you guys, but in my mind, next week is going to be really, really telling as to where this team goes, because I don't know, John. I know you guys keep trying to tell us that it's not happening, but I'm looking at what my lying eyes are seeing out there. And in some instances, I think some players have quit. They have called it a season.
Who, Drew?
And they're just out there to collect a paycheck.
Who do you think has quit?
I'm just looking at the team and overall. I mean, do I have any specifics? No, I'm not out there. It just looks like the team overall has quit or not bringing any effort. This defense is just a total joke. Okay, yeah, we don't have any talent out there. I grant that we don't have talent out there. I understand that. I mean, I've seen that time and time again. But it just looks like once this team gets into an area where they know they ain't going to win or everything, things just start going downhill drastically.
It didn't happen against the Panther game when they got down, Drew. Yeah. They got down big against Carolina. They fought back.
I understand that. You know, there's always a game here and there. They play tough against the Patriots. They play tough against the Panthers. I mean, I've got that. I've seen that.
They play tough in almost every game this year except for one, Drew. One or two.
And
Philly, the first.
And they've lost every single game because your defense cannot hold up. Okay.
Well, but Drew, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue.
But Drew,
I'll let you continue here. I'm just going to say that there's a distinct difference, though. I mean, your point about the defense. There's a difference between effort versus lack of execution.
And by the way, we agree with
you
that the defense can't hold up in the games. That's a problem. But we don't, in our opinion, that's not because of effort. I don't think Juani Unga and Jonathan Casillas and, you know, whoever else is out there at the end of these games isn't trying. I just think the other guy's beating them.
I've seen those guys go out there and try and everything, okay? All right. But I'm telling you again, in my opinion, and to me, it's going to bear fruit one way or the other, okay? And in my opinion, next week is an extremely important game.
Sure it is.
Obviously don't have a darn thing to do with playoffs. It's about talent and job and evaluation. And you could put me on the record. I'm just thinking these guys is going to lay down. You could put me on the record for that.
All right, Drew, I'll put you on the record.
That's going to be the talent, huh?
I said, okay, I'll put you on the record, Drew, no problem.
Yeah. But, yeah, these guys, I don't know. But, again, you know, obviously I hope I'm wrong. Yeah, we have some good players, but we got players that really, truly need to go. And then the last thing I want to say.
Yeah, real quick.
And we keep talking about it. Yeah, I'm there. I'm a big Cruz person, but we got to find a number two receiver for Beckham. Otherwise, again, that's going to be a waste there, too. I know we got Cruz, and we're going to prepare like we have Cruz. I get all of that, but I'm telling you, this coaching staff, whoever they may be, would be remiss and criminal if they didn't look for a number two guy.
All right, thank you, Drew.
All right, Drew.
And I think the way you look at it, too, is that, you know, the way the Giants run their offense, they basically start three wide receivers anyway. They come out with 11 personnel. That's their primary, you know, personnel grouping. So you basically need three starters. So if Cruz is one of those three, whether he's the second or third guy, whatever. But look, I think Dwayne Harris, we've shown this year that counting him to play 60 snaps of offensive, you know, football each week is asking a lot given his role on special teams. He's, you know, you're going to have to figure out a way to balance that a little bit.
Well, and that's why I think based on what transpired this season, John, and Cruz being a question mark, I mean, clearly one of the priorities this offseason is to make sure that you have the necessary weapons within the receiving core moving forward so that in the event somebody can't be relied upon or Cruz is a little behind on his rehab.
Or Beckham misses a game for a hamstring, whatever.
Right, you have somebody that's going to obviously be able to step in and then the offense doesn't miss a beat. I mean, that's the sign of a team that, you know, doesn't all of a sudden have its ups and downs. One guy goes out, another guy comes in, and the production stays even. And that's clearly something that they'll obviously look forward to trying to build a little bit more depth in that department.
All right, guys, I got 10 minutes to go in the show. I got four callers online. We'll get to all four of you. We'll try to keep each at about two and a half minutes each. But first, some business fans. Don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination of DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Lance, I'm going to look at Twitter here, too, see if anything on Twitter. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. And these are Jeff Fiegel's picks in his Week 17 lineup. Now, if you ever played DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Here was Fiegel's Week 17 lineup. Tom Brady. Wait a second. This is his picks for this week. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to review his picks for Week 16.
I have
the wrong sheet.
At this point.
All right,
tremendous preparation.
I printed out the wrong sheet. I will get
Wonderful.
The other sheet out before the show is over. But in the meantime, my fault. Always smooth. Not enough O's. Charlie in Portland, Maine.
Oh, boy. If there's any transition to go to.
He's smooth.
Yeah.
What's up, Chuckles?
Hey, happy, blissful, soulful, musical New Year's, guys.
You
Same
too,
Charlie.
Hey, Lance, I already scanned your cell phone. I see it there. I got your number, so I'll give you a call a little later.
Oh, wonderful. I'll be looking forward to that.
I missed something.
Well, my phone is on the table.
Oh,
so
I see. Okay,
saw.
I got you. You know.
We got Mr. Detective on the line here. Yes. Inspector Gadget. Well, what else you got
hey,
for us?
All I want to say is a couple things. One thing is, hey, the good news, if you guys go to London, Tom Coughlin and JR, I'm going with you. So that's one good thing. And to me, it doesn't really matter if you get rid of both of them. I'd like to see both of them go, get some fresh eyes in here. But if you don't get rid of that medical staff, it ain't going to matter. We had another 16, 17 guys on IR. Last year we had 21. The year before we had 20. There's something amiss going on in that medical field. They got to bring some new eyes in, bring in new people to see what the heck is going on. And when I was listening to Len, I would put on my list JPP. JPP has played incredible for the condition that he is in. I mean, whoever his medical people was he worked out with, you should hire them. That guy came in here with no camp, no summer training, no nothing, and he hasn't had a hamstring, he hasn't had a calf injury, he hasn't had a pec, he hasn't had nothing. He's played every game, and he's played on a high motor, and next year he won't have the club. He's already said they got a glove that they're making. He feels confident next year because the skin graft is going to be totally another year old. He's going to be playing without the club. This guy, you've got to keep. He has the motivation. He has a love for the game. The guy is totally changed, and you can see it. So for me, he would be the first guy on defense I would definitely keep. And he's been unbelievable. To me, he's been unbelievable. And I think our offense played the worst game of the season along with that Philly game. Our defense worst game was against New Orleans. I think the worst game we played, though, was when we came out of the bye, knowing that we could have gone up two games in our division against Washington, and we laid an egg for three quarters. That was the indictment to me on the coaching staff, on some of the players, on the GM for not having bringing in the talent that we needed. And we could have brought in a bunch of talent late, but we didn't. JR passed on a lot of people. So, I mean, if they're gone, that's fine with me. I think we need a whole new, like I said, coaching staff, GM, and maybe they'll go internally, because, McAdoo and Eli have done some really great things. So maybe they'll keep him or utilize his, offense with somebody. I don't know. But I just think it's time to, change the page. We, four years in a row, no playoffs. And I thought we would finish 8-8. We're not even going to finish 8-8. We're going to be like 6-10.
I'm actually glad, Charlie, that you brought that up because I've been dying to take your prediction off the wall.
Oh, that's right. Charlie, watch this.
It's a little premature. We'll wait till next week.
No.
But for him, we can get rid of that
It's
one.
Clinched.
Yes.
Charlie?
Hold it up so
Charlie
we can document
it, Charlie in Portland, Maine, 4-14, 2015. Giants have finished 8-8. That was
off the mark.
Incorrect.
Yes.
Adios.
Yeah. That'll be the first one off the wall.
I said on that, I said if we had a bunch of injuries, the same injuries that we were having last year, I said we'd be 5-11.
All right, Charlie, we got to run, pal. We got to run. We got three more calls we got to get in, all right?
Okay, guys. Have a happy New Year.
Thanks, buddy. All right, let's go to David in North Carolina. He's up next. David, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's always great to follow the great Charlie and Lynn. Here's the thing. Going into the game Sunday night, I was leaning towards holding fort and keeping the same, the regime and bringing everybody back, just because I felt like you hate to bring in a new system and maybe delay Eli aging more or take longer. Eli's not getting any younger. A superstar like Odell Beckham playing a skill position, you never know. He could play 10 years, he could play 4 and blow out his ACL.
Let's not say things like that.
Well, I just see guys like, Calvin Johnson, and it's hard. Calvin Johnson's still a great player, but, you hear it all the time. You can't justify $24 million a year, and so you've got a small window where not only is he a good player, we're talking about, like Beckham, a player that's best in the game kind of player. So,
and you aren't paying him a lot. I got you, David. You're right.
Yeah. And so, there's that window that you worry about. But after the Vikings game, and I'm glad Lance brought up the stat of the 10th offense in the league, this, to me, with Beckham not being on the field, it opened up my eyes to what this team, what I thought. But I hated to see Coughlin go, and I hated to shake things up too much. People said it over and over again about the roster, and they're right. I like Lynn's points about who would you keep. From all the reports I hear, it sounds like the Giants are against taking everything down 100% and the complicated nature of hiring a new GM. But I will say this, when you've got a quarterback and you've got a star like Odell Beckham, I hope the Giants management is open to it. I mean, granted, you got to find the right guy, but look what the Panthers did with taking Gettleman. I came into a terrible cap space, terrible cap situation, was able to turn it around quick.
Hey, look, if you want to look at a good David, a good comparison, the Jets changed general managers last year, and their general manager came in with a ton of cap space.
Sir.
So I think that's a decent comparison.
A new coach, and that's what I'm getting to. You know what? Who cares if Eli has to learn a new offense? Who cares if these – I mean, that's their job. Let's stop worrying about this offense being so great. It's not that great. It was the Odell Beckham Eli show. I mean, the reason I'm leaning now towards Coughlin going – here's a couple points.
Yeah, real quick, David. We got to run. Make it fast.
Real quick. Okay. The Jets game. The reason you kick the field goal, there's a thing called momentum. When you let a team stop you on 4th-and-1, that changes the whole momentum of the game. You kick the field goal, play it safe.
All right, point number two.
When you don't understand what's going on the field, and you claim you can't see everything, and you didn't realize Beckham was becoming that big of an issue in that game, to me, that's total nonsense. You fell on your values that you started with, and granted, I'm glad he lowered some of those expectations and some of that disciplinary stuff, but to me, he kind of fell on his own sword. He fell to putting winning the game above his values. And then third, if I hear another press conference of, well, man, we really practiced well this week, poor Coughlin has forgotten what a good practice looks like, because this offense continues to go up against terrible talent. I mean, we practiced great this week. The guys really practiced well. Well, I guess so. They're practicing against terrible people.
All right, David, we got to run, pal. We only got 2 minutes to go. I got two calls I got to get in, all right?
All right.
Thanks,
care,
pal. Right, let's go to Tef down in Charlotte. We stay down there. What's up, Tef?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Go ahead, Tef.
What do you got, Tef?
Hey, I just want to, I'll try being brief. I just wanted to make the point that the benefits of losing this next game far outweigh what would happen if we win. Not for the current regime, maybe, but still, as far as next year playing the Rams and essentially a neutral site game versus going to Seattle. And I know the Rams aren't such a bad team, but the number one reason is all next year, as soon as the clock strikes zero at the end of this game, we'll be looking up at Philly in the draft at all those picks where they can be looking up at us. So I don't know. They may have to, you know, try to start all their backups and, you know, IR everybody and everybody healthy. And
all right, Tef. Appreciate the call, my friend.
I
here's the bottom line.
The philosophy.
I get what you're saying, yeah. And look, your logical points aren't wrong, but that's not the way football, the NFL, coaches are built, players are built, ownership is built. This is the Eagles, too, mind you. I don't care where you are. If you're the Giants, you don't want to lose to the Eagles. It's just not what you want to do.
The rivalry and all that. And plus, you know, talking about draft picks, I mean, I don't really think it's going to be that big of a difference. It's not like we're talking about you're going to fall 15 spots if you wind up losing.
You still got Beckham last year where you were picking. So
it's all about what you do with the pick.
Players there, exactly.
It's what you do with the pick. It's not where you pick.
2 years ago, obviously, with Beckham. Last year was Flowers. All right, final call. Pete, New York. Pete, you got 60 seconds, my friend. Go right ahead.
What is wrong with all these people? This team is 4 or 5 coaching decisions away from being an elite team this year. You take the Dallas game. You take the Arizona Cardinal game. You take the Jets game.
They didn't play the Arizona Cardinals.
I mean, excuse me, the Atlanta Falcons.
How was that a coaching
decision?
The defense gave up 2 touchdowns late because they couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, he gave up a late touchdown to Julio Jones. He had a fumble by Eli Manning in the red zone. How was that a coaching issue?
If I remember correctly, there were several plays where it was short yardage, a third down. Instead of trying to get the first down, they went deep. That's a problem they have had several times this year on the offensive calling plays, is that against the Jet game was first down to get 8 yards. The next two plays they go deep instead of trying to get the first down. They fall in love with that long pass and forget the short intermediate passes, the intermediate plays.
I'm looking at the play-by-play for the Atlanta Falcons game. I mean, they were facing on that last drive. They had a 2nd and 10, a 3rd and 10, and a 4th and 10. So, I mean, your only option under those circumstances is to go down the field to try to get a 10-yard gain so that you can move the chains.
Either way, Pete, what's your larger point?
My larger point is that it's the team is not that far away from being a decent team. They need maybe about 4 players on defense and maybe another offensive line, probably a guard to strengthen that offensive line out. My biggest problem with the team, though, is that I simply think it's time for Coughlin and Jerry Reese to go. Coughlin himself has cost the team at least 4 games this past season in his coaching decisions. One, not running out the clock. The one game, I can't remember the exact game, where he ran the ball. He didn't run the ball, but threw the ball against the Patriots, it was, I think, on 3 plays instead of running the ball, killing the clock. Mm-hmm. And then getting the field goal anyway, giving Tom Brady less time.
I don't want to rehash all these individual games, Pete.
Well, the thing is that...
Finish up. You got 15 seconds, Pete. Make your point.
Okay, 15 seconds. Okay, you talk about not changing coaches because of not bringing Eli to a new system. What difference whether or not you bring Eli to a new system in next year, 2016, or when Coughlin retires in 16, has to do it again in 17. You might as well bring a new coach in 2016, so 2017 you can go forward and have at least three more years of Eli Manning as your quarterback with a system under his belt that he's comfortable with.
All right, Pete, fair point. Thanks for the call, my friend.
Yep, take care.
Thank you. Pete. All right, everybody, good job on the phones. Good job on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Tomorrow it will be Anita Marks and David Deal. Of course, tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll have Tom Coughlin's press conference at 11. You can watch that live on Giants.com, the Giants mobile app, or on MSG. Paul Dottino and David Deal break it down after you hear from the man himself, head coach Tom Coughlin. For Lance Mendel, I'm John Schmelk. That's Big Blue Kickoff Live for this Tuesday, the final Tuesday in December. Happy New Year, everybody. This will be the last you'll see of me and Lance this week. You'll have Dottino and Cross on Thursday. I mentioned Marks and Deal tomorrow. So Lance and I will see you next week.
Sounds
have a great
good.
New Year. Happy New Year. Be safe, and we'll see you next week, everybody. See you in 2016.
Have a good one.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.